You are listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system. On RadioAryan.com.
Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, to the Roper Report, exclusively on RadioAryan.com. I'm your host for the Roper Report, as always, Billy Roper, bringing you news and political commentary from just the right of Julius Stryker, which you will not hear anywhere else. On this week's The Roper Report, we're going to be talking about Richard Spencer's rally in Gainesville, Florida, and his speech there, as well as the reception afterwards, as well as the coming, this next weekend, White Lives Matter rally in Shelbyville, Tennessee. But our primary focus for this program will be Mr. Jacob Goodwin and his legal case and fundraising for his legal defense, as well as his current situation. So to give you an update, this week's episode of the Roper Report is somewhat of a letter from a Lone Oak County jail. That's a reference, as those of you who are familiar with American civil rights history may be familiar with, to the letter from a Birmingham jail. And that was written by Martin Luther King Jr., Michael King, on April the 16th, 1963, after he was arrested, one of the many times he was arrested, for his quote-unquote nonviolent civil resistance. It was accompanied by "The Negro Is Your Brother," for those who remember that. So this is not the letter from a Birmingham jail, which Martin Luther King was lauded for. This is a letter from a Lone Oak County jail. That's where Jacob Goodwin, my friend and fellow Shieldwall Network member, is being held, awaiting extradition to Virginia on a spurious charge from Charlottesville. Now, last week, we featured on the Roper Report a discussion of Jacob Goodwin's case, as well as an interview with both his mother and his father. Now, Scott and Tamara Goodwin gave a very poignant and emotional interview, and those of you who have not had an opportunity to hear it really owe it to yourselves to go back into the archives at RadioAryan.com or on the Billy Roper YouTube channel and to listen to last week's The Roper Report, where I had a discussion with Jacob's parents about his current situation. This next weekend, the Goodwins are going to be once again expressing their pride in their son and their support for him at the White Lives Matter rally in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Now, the White Lives Matter rally was originally conceptualized to oppose the controlled Jewish media's ignoring of and throwing down the memory hole of the black African immigrants' attack on white churchgoers there in Antioch, Tennessee, a couple of weeks ago. It's not been carried or covered by the controlled media, obviously, because it's a monochrome reverse view of what Dylan Roof did, the only difference being that Dylan was a little bit better shot. All the media attention given to what happened with the Dylan Roof case is juxtaposed very clearly and starkly with the media ignoring the black African immigrant shooting white churchgoers in Antioch, Tennessee. But in addition, they wanted to bring attention to the whole issue of Somalians and other black Africans being imported into Central Tennessee purposefully by the government to import the wonders of diversity to the region, and how that has created a backlash among the white population who now support white nationalism more strongly than ever. So that rally, which will take place in Shelbyville this coming weekend, will be followed up by a meeting in Murfreesboro. And at that meeting in Murfreesboro, the good ones will have an opportunity to discuss with the supporters and the attendees of that rally Jacob Goodwin, their son's legal case, and how it currently stands. They'll also be holding a fundraiser there, and their speech will be video recorded for future fundraising efforts through social media. Shield Wall Network members will be going to make sure they provide security for the good ones during and after the rally. We hope that everyone who has an opportunity to in the region will attend the White Lives Matter rally this coming weekend in Shelbyville, Tennessee. If you have any difficulty organizing transportation or accommodations, or would like to coordinate with others in your area who will be attending, make sure that you leave a comment section in the radioarian.com, or you can email me, roper_billy@yahoo.com, for more information about how you can coordinate with other attendees of the White Lives Matter rally coming this weekend in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And you can hear the good ones speak in person, as well as contribute directly and personally to them for Jacob Goodwin's legal defense fund. So this letter from a Lone Oak County jail is not actually a letter from Jacob. I've been sending letters and postcards to him, and actually we've been able to communicate through email now. So if you'd like to send a letter or a postcard to encourage, to uplift Jacob Goodwin, you can do so as well, and I encourage you to. You can write to Jacob Goodwin, courtesy of the Lone Oak County Jail, and that's L-O-N-O-K-E, Lone Oak County Jail. The address is 440 D.D. Lane, that's D-E-E-D-E Lane, Lone Oak, Arkansas, 72086. Once again, Jacob Goodwin, courtesy of the Lone Oak County Jail, 440 D.D. Lane, Lone Oak, Arkansas, 72086. Interestingly, even though it's a county jail, there's a kiosk there where Jacob can receive and send email. And I've been communicating with him in that way, as have many of his friends and family. You can email Jacob Goodwin by registering at smartjailmail.com. That's smartjailmail.com. And once you register then, you can select the Lone Oak County Jail and Jacob Goodwin, and send him an email. Once he accepts it, then he can then email you back. But I encourage you that, since it costs about 50 cents per email in and out of the Lone Oak County Jail through the system, I encourage you to please click on the icon at the bottom of the email before you send it, including a credit that will basically be like providing a self-addressed stamped envelope, allowing Jacob to email you back if you'd like to hear back from him. So once again, you can write to Jacob Goodwin, courtesy of the Lone Oak County Jail, 440 D.D. Lane, Lone Oak, Arkansas, 72086, or through email by registering at smartjailmail.com. Now, one of the main things that we've been doing to try to help Jacob and his family out, in addition to making regular posts on the Rope Report websites and blogs, is actually encouraging people to sign the petition that we've created at change.org. And this petition is aimed at Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson to ask him to deny or delay extradition of Jacob Goodwin back to Virginia. So the letter from a Lone Oak County jail is actually not written by Jacob Goodwin, even though he is sending out emails and sending out letters. This letter from a Lone Oak County jail was actually written by me as an open letter to Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. And I really referenced this previously, but I'd like to read verbatim the letter that I wrote to Governor Asa Hutchinson, so that those of you who have an opportunity to go to change.org can actually click on the petition and sign it. You can also email the governor and governor's office, as well as the governor's first lady wife, yourselves, to add your voice to ours and your strength to ours. So this was the open letter that I wrote to Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, who is a Republican, by the way, but in 1987 got his start when he was an assistant federal prosecutor by prosecuting the Order and other white nationalists. Dear Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, Jacob Goodwin, a young Arkansas man, arrested recently on a social media-driven witch hunt crusade-inspired charge out of Charlottesville, Virginia, has never had so much as a parking ticket. He will not receive a fair trial in the politically charged, biased climate of Charlottesville. Just the day after he was arrested, the man he is alleged to have assaulted was booked on a similar charge stemming from the same incident, but was instantly granted bail. Another violent assailant in the attack has also been arrested and released. In stark contrast, the other two co-defendants of Jacob Goodwin's have not been allowed bail, nor has another man who simply used pepper spray in self-defense the same day. Because he will not receive a fair trial in Charlottesville, we ask Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson to not agree to extradite Jacob Goodwin to Virginia, as he will be requested to. Governor Hutchinson, you and I have met and spoken in person before. As the father of a son who has encountered legal difficulties, you also know the hardship which Jacob's family is going through. I have ran for the office you now hold and fully understand its responsibilities. I also urge your lawyers to advise you that precedential case law, such as South Dakota versus Brown and Kentucky versus Dennison, support your right and your power to deny rendition. Please fulfill your elected duty as Arkansas's chief executive and protect this young man, an Arkansas citizen, from injustice and a political railroading to a show trial at a kangaroo court in Charlottesville. At a minimum, we ask that you delay rendition until such time as his co-defendants have received separate trials with a fair and just outcome, and stipulate that a change of venue to a more fair location for the trial be provided for. Thank you for your time and consideration of this matter. Sincerely, Billy Roper. This open letter that I wrote to Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson has not been carried by the mainstream media, even though I have multiply sent out press releases to print and radio and video journalists throughout the state. But Austin Kellerman, who is the Jewish news director for Channel 4 and Channel 16, the NBC and Fox TV affiliates here in Arkansas, did retweet verbatim a screenshot of the entire letter to the governor, word for word, to all pretty much 20,000 of his Twitter followers. None of them bit, because they know that publishing this letter and talking about Jacob's pending extradition would humanize him, create sympathy for him, and create additional public pressure on the governor of Arkansas to deny the extradition of Jacob Goodwin to Virginia, where he will face an unfair and unjust trial. That sympathizing, that humanizing effort is exactly our purpose with this change.org petition. So I encourage all of you, regardless of whether you live in Arkansas or not, to please go to change.org and sign the petition to deny or delay the extradition of Jacob Goodwin, which will be sent to the Arkansas governor this week. Please just Google Jacob Goodwin petition at change.org and you will find it. You can also help with Jacob Goodwin's legal defense through fundraiser.com or through GoFundMe.com, or, now publicly available, through Patreon.com. Once again, just by Googling Jacob Goodwin Legal Defense Fund. So, whether or not you're a citizen of Arkansas, if you'd like to join others throughout the state and throughout the nation in urging Governor Asa Hutchinson to deny the extradition request against Jacob Goodwin, please write or email or call the governor's office and let your voice be heard. You can write to Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson. The address is 250 State Capitol Building, Little Rock, Arkansas, 72201. Their fax number is 501-682-1387. 5081682. The telephone number is 501-682-2345. You can email the governor at info@governor.arkansas.gov or through the website at www.state.ar.us/governor/governor.html. The governor's office online contact form is at governor.arkansas.gov/contact-info, and the governor has a Twitter feed at Asa Hutchinson and a Facebook at Asa for Arkansas, where you can hit him up there and express your view, your opinion, that Jacob Goodwin should not be extradited to Virginia. You can also contact Arkansas's First Lady and ask her to use her influence in defense of Jacob as well at governor.arkansas.gov/first-lady/contact. So please email or use social media or your phone or your fax to get in touch with the Arkansas Governor's office and ask H. Hutchinson to please not extradite our friend Jacob Goodwin to face an unfair trial and a lack of justice in Virginia. That is, more importantly than what Michael Kuhn ever wrote, a true letter, a letter for true civil rights, our letter from a Lone Oak County jail. Now, as they prepare to go to Tennessee this next weekend, Jacob Goodwin's parents are going to be making this video to help with the social media fundraising aspect for legal defense. They're talking to lawyers in Virginia for his criminal defense once he is extradited. They're also planning their legal strategy in consultation with lawyers here in Arkansas. Jason Robb is Jacob's legal defense lead team here, and he's been meeting with Jacob. Pastor Thomas Robb has also met with Jacob today to provide religious counsel. And everyone is really pulling together, from the Traditionalist Worker Party and the League of the South to the Knights Party and, of course, the Shieldwall Network. Everyone is working together, united behind Jacob Goodwin. And that's really inspiring and encouraging for all of us to see. So whether or not the mainstream media carries my open letter to the governor of Arkansas, whether or not they mention Jacob Goodwin's extradition, whether it just happens in the dead of night, we're doing everything that we can as a united front to help his family and to help Jacob, to stand by him, to be in contact with him and them every single day, to make sure that we're working diligently to fundraise for his legal defense as well as get his story out so that they cannot make him a silent martyr as they have so many others. The White Lives Matter rally and the following meeting on the 28th will meet. They'll be able to pass out hundreds of flyers with pictures of Jacob and information about how people can contribute to his legal defense fund online or directly to Mr. and Mrs. Goodwin, who will be there speaking at that meeting. So you can give to the legal defense fund in person there at the meeting following the White Lives Matter rally, or you can give online if you're not able to attend through Patreon or through GoFundMe, or through the fundraiser.com Jacob Goodwin Legal Defense Fund. We really want to encourage a change of venue and division of the trial in Virginia if and when Jacob is extradited. He's in great spirits. I was speaking with him yesterday, and he sent me an email in response. He does now have soap and shampoo and a comb after almost 2 weeks of incarceration. His glasses are broken, and his mother has had to scramble to try to get him a replacement pair of glasses, which he certainly needs. He's not allowed to have any reading material. Apparently, they're the kind of jail that he's in. To give you an idea, the inmates have been flushing pages of books down the toilets and have destroyed the plumbing, so he's not allowed to have any books whatsoever, which makes his time even more difficult. It's not easy time that he's doing, even though it's a county jail. He's locked down literally for 23 hours a day. 1 hour per day, he is allowed out of his small private cell into a larger room that has a table and two showers. And during that 1 hour per day, he has an opportunity to use the kiosk to answer email or to have a brief video visit with people who are not allowed to enter the visitor's room or take a shower. But for the other 23 hours a day, he is locked down in his private cell with no books, no contact with the outside world, except for the guards. So Jacob is being strong, being proud. He's maintained his sense of humor very courageously, still making jokes about it all, behaving like a true Viking. I'm very proud of my friend. I encourage all of you to support Jacob Goodwin by helping to raise funds for his legal defense. Encourage all of your social media contacts to go to thefundraiser.com or thegoifundme.com or the Patreon for Jacob Goodwin to make a small contribution, and to go to the change.org petition to sign to tell Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson to not extradite Jacob Goodwin to the Kangaroo Court in Charlottesville, Virginia. Now, I'd like to take a moment to shift gears, if I may, to talk about what happened in Gainesville. Obviously, whenever we're looking forward to the White Lives Matter rally in Shelbyville, Tennessee, Gainesville is a different kettle of fish. I held a demonstration in Gainesville, Florida, about 15 years ago, actually, also in the same area that Richard Spencer held his. I didn't have $10,000 to drop on an auditorium rental, so we held ours actually on a corner of the campus. And there were about 30 of us, and the White Revolution members there, and the Church of the Creator members there, and our other allies from different organizations held a corner against about 300. They weren't called Antifa then, they were called ARA, or Black Bloc. But 15 years ago, you can still see the pictures online, we faced them, literally face-to-face, because the campus police and the local police did very little to keep us separated. We were nose-to-nose and face-to-face with them for about an hour and a half in public. And there were some scuffles and a few arrests on each side. But basically, we had the opportunity to deliver our message to the controlled media, and that was the point. We were there in opposition of some rallies that had been held in support of Israel. So this was 15 years ago when we were focused on the anti-Israeli, anti-Jewish aspect of the message. It was a successful protest. It was not as heavily covered nationally as Richard Spencer's event this last weekend in Gainesville was. So I'm going to try really hard not to do too much Monday morning quarterbacking. I'm going to really make an effort to not be overly critical and say what I might have done differently or what someone else should have done differently. I will say that it is wonderful and positive that some of our people have the deep pockets that allow them to pay $10,000 to rent an auditorium for a couple of hours. I will say it's wonderful and very inspiring that people have lawyers that allow them to threaten to sue universities and to file all kinds of injunctions and paperwork and legal proceedings against those who would not allow them to have those venues initially. I will say that it's wonderful that many people were positively cheering on that struggle and were appreciative of the effort behind it, and also celebrating the victory of the venue being provided. I will also say that it's kind of funny that the Jewish president of the university, who spells his name F-U-C-H-S, and if I were speaking to his face, would probably not pronounce it the same way that he does, was forced to allow the event to happen, and that the university claims they had to spend upwards of $500,000 on security for the event. Now, there were a couple of incidents around the event which are still kind of murky. There was a brown-looking person with a press pass who was stopped and detained trying to get into Richard Spencer's speech with a firearm. Now, some people have said that that person was actually part of Richard Spencer's security, masquerading as a journalist, and others have said that they were an Antifa or a protester who was armed, and that, of course, is a different level of danger, a different level of threat for his security to look on. And there was another unfortunate incident after his speech was over. Apparently, three white men who were white nationalists and supporters of Richard Spencer were accosted and their vehicle attacked by a group of black men when they stopped at a red light when they were leaving Gainesville. And in the exchange which followed, a shot was fired. It was a warning shot and no one was struck, but the three white men have been arrested and the investigation is still ongoing. So no one was injured in this altercation, which led to one shot being fired, but apparently it followed a large group of black men surrounding and attacking a car in which three white nationalists were attempting to leave Gainesville, but stopped at a red light. So, you know, once again, I guess they did not learn the lesson of Charlottesville that Heather tried to teach them about bad things can happen when you attack people's vehicles when they're just trying to leave. So, maybe that's a lesson that'll have to be repeated over and over again until they get it through their thick skulls, and the next shot might not be a warning shot. We'll have to watch and see what happens with the Fears brothers and that situation with those three white nationalists who were arrested in Gainesville. But as far as the speech itself, I will say that he was successful in triggering a lot of the liberals, and he certainly had an interesting exchange with a German homosexual after the meeting. But my personal view, from my perspective of having to watch the video and listening to the video of the press conference, which I thought went regularly, but not as well as it could have. But the press conference did go better than the speech itself, which didn't even happen. Actually, he was heckled and jeered and actually did not give a speech, but opened the floor to a question and answer session, which he didn't have the opportunity to do much constructive in because they were asking nonsense questions and being insulting and calling names. And literally, his 20 supporters there in the auditorium were outnumbered and out-yelled for Richard Spencer's Gainesville, Florida speech in the auditorium. So, without trying to be too overly critical, that was my perception. He did get a lot of media coverage. And so, you know, whether or not Richard Spencer is a genuine white nationalist, or whether he is, as some have said, a spoiled rich boy who's doing like Sims politics, you know, LARPing as a trigger, I can't say. I don't know the guy personally. I do know that it's nice to have someone with, you know, millions and millions of dollars from his family inheritance to spend on whatever he'd like. I wish that everyone had his level of optics, but the people to whom he associates with, some of them he shares a speaking platform with, I cannot support. I think that everyone who listens to the Roper Report is very clear in understanding exactly who those persons are and why that is, without me going into any more detail, of course. But it happened, and the storm seems to have passed from it, with the exception of the three guys who are now jammed up in the Florida legal system over it. But there wasn't a lot of mainstream media coverage of the Spencer speech once it was over. Most of the coverage was the build-up to the potential riots and protest, which the Antifa threatened to have before his speech actually began. Which kind of leads us into an interesting discussion of what may happen coming up in a couple of weeks on November the 4th, when the Revolutionary Communist Party is supposed to actually kick off a series of protests and rallies all over the country aimed at starting a coup d'etat to literally remove Donald Trump and Mike Pence, the president and vice presidents, from their office. They want to begin a civil war. And there are a lot of organized efforts that are coming to fruition in Seattle and Chicago, two of the more liberal bastions where you might see some very serious protests. I don't think that I will be wrong in predicting that it's going to fizzle. I don't think there's going to be enough momentum to carry these protests outside of the major cities so that there'll actually be a civil war. Now, I wrote an article where I compared this to the Titanic and the iceberg being ahead of us. There's an ice cube tickling against the hull. That's not the one we should be looking for. But, you know, for years, those of you who, like me, have been involved in this movement, in this struggle, have anticipated and expected the coming civil war that will kick off the collapse of the federal government and the balkanization of America. And we know that the abdication of power by the federal government, the creation of the vacuum at the federal level, whether it's through external war, through EMP attack or a nuclear war, or whether it's through the federal government actually just saying that they're not going to enforce federal immigration law in a sanctuary state like California, and the formality of that peppermint stripe flag coming down as the eagle and the snake rise actually takes place, and the de facto Aztlan, the Reconquista de Aztlan, becomes a reality, a de jure, then you know that it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Whether it happens on November the 4th or next Cinco de Mayo in L.A., it really doesn't matter, except in terms of how relaxed your magazine springs are and whether or not any of the canned beans you've got past their expiration date in between now and then. We have to prepare psychologically and physically and in terms of our resources, in terms of our networking and getting in touch with one another, people who are in your area, not people who are online, that you can meet face-to-face, IRL, and coordinate with for mutual aid and assistance. And that's really what the Shield Wall Network is all about. Whether it's a natural disaster or a man-made war, whether it's the collapse of the federal government or a civil war and balkanization leading to the rise of multiple racially homogeneous ethno-states in competition with one another, you need to coordinate with people you know in real life, face-to-face, people you can trust to have your back when the stuff hits the fan. That's why I encourage you to get involved with the Shield Wall Network. Now, if you'd like to, you can email me at roper_billy@yahoo.com. That's roper_billy@yahoo.com. And you can also register through the Roper Report website or through the Shield Wall Network website, which is shieldwallnetwork.wordpress.com. That's shieldwallnetwork.wordpress.com. Because I promise you, you're not going to want to be a lone wolf. You're not going to want to be a hermit when stuff hits the fan and your canned beans run out and your ammunition's getting low. It's important that we act now to become persons of influence in our local communities, because when there's the vacuum of federal power and there's an abdication of state-level power, it's going to be those local communities where resources are allocated, where assets are collected and divided up, and where the battle lines are drawn to defend your home and your community, your neighborhood, and your county from refugees fleeing the charnel houses, the starvation centers of major urban cities. So whenever the cities are besieged, whenever they're without power, whenever they're without food delivery and fuel delivery for a couple of weeks, they're going to riot and loot their way out of the suburbs and come in your direction. And if you're standing by yourself, regardless of how intelligent or well-armed you are, regardless of how secluded you think you are, you're much better off being a person of influence in your community and being able to work with others to protect your county than you are standing alone and falling alone. Those of you who are thinking you're going to stand alone and whistle Dixie had better make it the short version, because those of us who are planning to not only survive, but to be conquerors, to be leaders in the aftermath, are networking, coordinating now through the Shield Wall Network. And I encourage you to join us as we work to make our future that of New America. So, this morning I talked on the Stormfront radio program with Dr. Patrick Slattery and Father Francis about Jacob Goodwin's legal defense case and how people can help out, especially the White Lives Matter rally attendees coming to Tennessee this next weekend. And Saturday, I spoke on a new radio program, the Republic Broadcasting Network, with Farron on alternative media. And I had a half-hour interview with Farron there on the Republic Broadcasting Network to talk about Jacob Goodwin's case and to outline how people can help by signing the petition we've discussed, as well as by contributing to his legal defense fund through Patreon, or through fundraiser.com, or through GoFundMe. So, if you'd like to, you can look at the archives of the Republic Broadcasting Network's alternative media program from this last Saturday, when I discussed Jacob Goodwin's case with Farron. And he invited me to come back on to his show for a future broadcast where we could take call-ins from listeners. And I look forward to that opportunity. I've also been writing letters to the editor and giving press releases and using all of my social media assets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, Gab, and MeWe, every possible outlet, including email and snail mail, to raise awareness of Jacob Goodwin's case. I'm not the only one doing this, of course. As I mentioned, Traditionalist Worker Party and the League of the South are also working together with the Shield Wall Network to help out our friend Jacob, because we all know that he will not receive a fair trial in Charlottesville, Virginia. Daniel Borden and Alexander Ramos and Christopher Cantwell, regardless of what you may think of them, are clear and stark examples of that reality on the ground already there in Charlottesville. So I encourage you to join me in sharing my open letter to Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson and by signing the petition at change.org to make sure that he cannot and the controlled media cannot ignore it, like the 20,000 Twitter recipients in Arkansas who received Austin Kellerman's tweet have done so. We hope that you'll continue to stay tuned to the Roper Report and to read the Roper Report website at whitenationalist.com and the Roper Report site .wordpress.com to keep updated as Jacob's trial moves forward. And each week on the Roper Report, we'll be bringing you messages directly from Jacob and from his family. So, as we move into the second half of the program, I want to encourage you one more time, before we shift gears, to write to Jacob Goodwin. And you can reach him, of course, at the Lone Oak County Jail, 440 D.D. Lane, Lone Oak, Arkansas, 72086, or through email by registering at smartjailmail.com. Welcome back to the Roper Report, Billy's Balkanization blog, brought to you by the numbers 14 and 88 and the letters H, and by your generous non-tax-deductible contributions to roper_billy@yahoo.com via PayPal. Again, here on the Roper Report, we are recording live from the Shieldwall Network Oktoberfest Social here in Central Arkansas, and with me this evening are the parents of Jacob Goodwin. I've been discussing with you on this program how Jacob was arrested by U.S. Marshals and is being held in the Lone Oak County, Arkansas jail, awaiting extradition to Virginia based on a warrant out of Charlottesville. Mr. and Mrs. Goodwin are here to speak in defense of their son and to bring you the details of his encouraging story. Now, Mrs. Goodwin, what would you like for the people of America to know about your son, Jacob?
He is a good kid. He's never been in trouble in school. I know all mothers think their kids are angels. I know his halo's tilted a little bit, but he is a very good, fun-loving child. I say child, he's a man, but he has stood up for his country, his history most of all. I respect my child. I'm very proud of my child. He has stood where most grown men won't stand. If you ask him for the shirt on his back, if he's got one, he'll give you two. And he's funny. He loves to support. You ask him for anything, and he'll give it to you. He's incarcerated. They took my child off. I'm trying not to cry. Took my child off in chains. Cops never been to my house. They even found my house. He was chained to a bench from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 8 o'clock at night without going to the bathroom. They won't let him. He's locked down 23 hours a day. I'm sure he's a little afraid at some point. They're fighting us to try to send him to Charlottesville where they're not getting fair trials over there. The young man they supposedly have hit, he doesn't say that he beat up a man with a flashlight first. And that he, when his got his gold money, he went and bought a Mercedes. He went and bought him $1,300 shoes. And he's a rapper and he's in a gang. The gang is straight eight crud boys. I'm sorry. And this boy is not known for the good stuff. My child is in jail without bail, along with some other boys in Virginia. My son is in Arkansas. And these boys are gang, and he was only in there for the same charges as my son, and he was out in 3 hours. I'm asking for help because my son is standing up for your history, your rights that most grand men don't stand up for. That's why I'm making this plea to please call my governor. Tell him not to sign that paper to take my son to Virginia. He will not get a fair trial. I'm begging you, if I have to, we need funding for his lawyers. We're having to have two, one here in Arkansas and one in Virginia. And I can't tell you enough how much I would appreciate very dime you give me and my son. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Goodwin. We also have Jacob's father, and I'd like for him to speak a few words about his son.
My son has been painted as a monster by the media. People only see a person's life in a few seconds on a video and draw conclusions from that. We're just average, everyday people. We're just middle-class people. We are like 99% of everybody else in the United States. Considered, I guess, by many, nobodies. But we work hard. We don't bother anybody. Never had any problems until now. I think my son has a right to stand up for what he believes, just like the other side has a right to stand up for what they believe. And I think they should be treated equally, but it doesn't seem that way right now. It doesn't seem like the due process of law applies in this case, because this is a politically motivated, this is a politically charged topic. This had nothing to do with race. It had to do with, his belief in the fact that he thought our history was being destroyed. He's a great man. I mean, he is. If you knew my son, every black person, every person of any race that ever came across him liked him, talked about what a wonderful guy he was, how he was always funny. And they're painting him out to be a monster, and he's not. And I don't believe that he will actually get a fair trial in Virginia, because the man he's accused of assaulting, that is his hometown. As a parent, I'm very concerned. Of course I am. I love my child, and I'm concerned about what's going to happen to him. But my son is not the person that he's being made out to be by the media. I never believed that the media was everything people said they were, that they made up things. But now I do. I understand now why people don't trust the media. The media only shows you one side of things, and they just make up what they want to paint the picture that they want painted. But my wife and I are very private people, and we've been thrust into this unwillingly.
And we're proud of him.
It's not any, yes. I mean, how can you not be proud of a person who stands up for what they believe in? We did not want to be in this position. But any help that you can give us as a father, I don't wish this on anybody. I would not wish this on my worst enemy. Any help that anyone could give us financially, emotionally, pray for us. Because this is a very dramatic time in our life. Our lives will never be the same. Just any help you can give us, we appreciate. Thank you.
My son, when he was in Charlottesville, he was maced. He was tear gassed. Feces was thrown on him out of a bottle. And urine was thrown on him and some other red stuff. I don't even know what it was, the smell. He came back with all that on him. He was the last to leave out of their group because there was a lot of people wounded. And I was told that my son was last to leave out of there because he got everybody that was injured out of there. He made sure the hurt went on the truck first. The others that could walk, that he got them in cars. That's the type of son my son is, even with all that stuff on him. And I'm telling you, who would take feces and put it in a bottle to get ready to throw at somebody, how that ain't premeditated. How is that not premeditated? My son left out of that motel that morning with no weapon at all. at all. All six of those boys left with not mace, nothing in their pockets. They had no weapons. So whatever they had to pick up, my son only had a shield. That's all he had. So I'm a mother, and I'm asking all you mothers out there, you fathers, think about it, be your child fighting for what your rights are. Thank you, Noble.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Goodwin, for spending the time here with us to tell us about what is going on with Jacob. And, of course, as you know, the Showell Network wants to pledge our support to our friend Jacob, to your son, and to express once again how lucky he is to have parents who stand by him, who have not disavowed him as some have in similar situations in the past, but how lucky we are to have you as our friends as he is to have you as his parents. Yes. So the Showell Network is dedicated to continuing to raise funds and do whatever we can to help Jacob's legal defense. We encourage everyone who is listening to this program, everyone on the internet, and everyone who values their ancestry, their history, their heritage, as well as their children, their grandchildren's futures, to help out, to set a precedent, to establish a foundation that we will stand by our own, that we will not leave one behind when he falls, and we will not let Jacob Goodwin be a victim of the Zionist oppressor. So I encourage you to help out with the Jacob Goodwin Legal Defense Fund. And you can do that through Patreon or through GoFundMe or through fundraiser.com. If you'd like the details on how you can help out online or anonymously through the mail, you can email me at roper_billy@yahoo.com. Once again, thank you for helping us help Jacob. You know, since thousands of Showell Network business cards and flyers have been distributed all across the United States over the last couple of months, I've been getting a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, because both my phone number and my email are on those business cards, asking me about what the Showell Network is, what we're all about. And I constantly get questions on Facebook and on Twitter and on MeWe and on Gab, asking me for more information about how people can get involved locally with a franchise of the Showell Network, or how they can begin their own. And so I'd like to tell everyone who's not yet had an opportunity to network locally with other Showell Network members or affiliates how they can start their own Showell Network franchise or join one close to them. Of course, the first step is to get in touch online with other Showell Network members and affiliates so you can find out where the closest members to you are, and perhaps there's already some that are active in your area. You can go to the Showell Network website at showellnetwork.wordpress.com and read the About section under What is the Showell Network? Or you can, through Facebook, contact us, or through Twitter, or through any social media platform, or you can just email me at roper_billy@yahoo.com to find out more about this grassroots community activist and patriotic outreach organization of white nationalist preppers, which is growing exponentially every single week. So what is the Showell Network? Well, you know, whether you're a member of a patriotic organization already, or if you're independent, we invite you to take part in this locally focused grassroots endeavor. There are no membership fees or dues required, but we do require a commitment. It's needed. It's necessary at this time more than ever. So we'd like for you to become a part of a Showell in your area, so that you can think racially and take a stand locally. The Spartan Lambda, the upside down V, is the symbol of the Showell Network. The Showell really began in classical Greek civilization when the courageous Spartans and the other Greek warriors, such as Leonidas and his 300 at Thermopylae, linked their shields together against the invaders. And that's why we use that Spartan Lambda symbol. It's an honor to them that the Spartan Lambda shield is the symbol of the Showell Network. Later, the brave Roman legions emulated the Greek Showell with their tortoise, and for our northern European ancestors, one of the most effective defensive tactics employed was the Showell. The Vikings and the Angles and the Saxons alike, as well as the Celts and other kindred tribes, often stood shoulder to shoulder, side by side, with the rims of their shields overlapping. So, in a Showell, basic military tactics Every man is responsible for protecting the man to his left with their shield, held in their left hand, covering their neighbor on that side, and attacking the enemy with their right-hand spear. So to that end, all members of the shield wall are equally reliant and dependent on one another. That means you cannot let your brother down. If one fails to do his duty, his neighbors suffer for it first. So if the shield wall is broken, then the enemy can penetrate the defensive lines and wreak havoc among the shield wall defenders and those behind the shield wall whom we're protecting. Thus, trust and loyalty are important traits for warriors in the shield wall. So the kind of grassroots community-level networking we want to promote for each member of the shield wall network, regardless of where you are, requires a similar level of mutual trust and dependence. Whether you are a lawyer or a doctor or a plumber or electrician or carpenter, contrary to the lone wolf mentality, we are not hermits or individualists, nor do we see that escape from the reality of our current situation and our future likely situation that our people face as a solution to the problems threatening us now and in the near future. However, you know, in many of our communities, we may well have to begin grassroots level organizing and networking on our own if there are no other Shield Wall Network members near us. Each of us then are becoming persons of influence in our communities, and through that means we can strengthen the Shield Wall as a whole by eventually bringing more people into it. So, if you want to begin a Shield Wall Network franchise in your area, you can expand the Shield Wall Network by recognizing your own resources, your own assets, and your own skill sets. We all have the ability and opportunity and responsibility to serve as leaders and spokespersons in our communities using what we call the radical flank effect to shift the Overton window of acceptable discourse to the right among our peers and friends, and that will reinforce and embolden and encourage them to speak more boldly and forthrightly the things which are politically incorrect, perhaps, but nonetheless commonly held unspoken beliefs among our peers. At the same time, we can encourage people to prepare themselves psychologically and materially for what is coming. And in that way, we can each become persons of influence in our community. That's a phrase that you'll hear repeated in the Shield Wall Network over and over again. If what many of us believe is coming arrives, the number of people whom you can trust to stand beside you, you know, manning a roadblock or a barricade to defend your neighborhood will be a lot more important than how many likes you can get on Facebook or how many followers you can get on Twitter. Now, white America needs grassroots networking from the ground up. Everyone that's listening to this program knows someone they can talk to about our future. If you're listening to the Roper Report, you already have the skill set that you need to talk to people that you know about political reality. And politically, with the nation becoming more polarized and divided than at any time in our lives that I can remember, now is the perfect time to seek that opening. So if you'd like to become a person of influence in your community, a real leader, stand up for your folk, you can build your own local Shield Wall Network, and we'd like to tell you how. Challenge 1. Find out and locate where local meeting places are for like-minded people near you, like gun shops and shooting ranges and local and county Republican parties, veterans organizations, and Tea Party groups. And that can all be cherry-picked for those who have similar values and amenable to radicalization through that radical flank effect I mentioned earlier. Challenge 2. Get involved in local community groups, volunteerism, and social events. Become known and accepted as an insider and familiar face and voice in your community. Attend city council meetings and school board meetings or any other local civic events. Get involved in 4-H. Go to local football games, especially if you have children. Get to know your local and county police, as many in law enforcement, to be honest with you, share a lot of our values and may be very useful in the future. Even those who do not and will not are still better known than unknown. The same is true for local elected officials, of course. Remember, we're co-opting them. They are not co-opting us. Challenge 3. Get to know your neighbors, starting with those closest to you. Be friendly. Pick up trash alongside the side of the road. Invite them over for barbecue. Have play days between their children and yours. Or just give them your number to call if there's anything suspicious going on in the neighborhood that you need to take a united stand on. Make a point to touch base with them regularly. Earn their trust for future influence. Challenge 4. Begin filling them all out for radicalization and usefulness as a part of the Shieldwall Network. What resources or skills do they have? And what experiences, such as job or the military, can they bring to the table to help out and share? How far along the path can they be brought towards us ideologically? And challenge 5, coordinate with other members of the Shieldwall Network, comparing the available resources and areas of expertise that they have, which you've located and accessed, with the ones that you have. So develop a list of the desired resources and the skill sets which are still lacking in the network, and work to develop a plan to actively seek out and recruit those new individuals who have those specific assets. It's like recruiting for the Army. You have certain skill sets that you're looking for. Those are the ones you need to try to recruit and develop. In the Shieldwall Network, we physically meet locally at least once every 2 months to share our challenge results and progress, old news and new. Also to socialize and to share information, as well as plan for the future. That means that just as the Shieldwall Network walls were formed by our ancestors, we will all be accountable to one another for working on the network. And at those subsequent meetings, we'll offer advice and assistance and encouragement as needed to everyone, to one another, as well as share ideas and inspiration. And that'll help maintain everyone's focus and direction for you and the people that you are recruiting to follow you as you become a leader of the Shieldwall Network and a spokesperson for our people. Those who are unable to attend, despite their best efforts, should at least be in communication with the network through email to achieve the same effect, because social media platforms can be taken away, as many of us know. And there'll always be group-driven and guided projects going on, whether face-to-face or online, whether you're working alone or as part of your network. So don't let the Shieldwall down. Stand with it, and it will stand with you. Work it, and it will work you. So for more information on how to start a Shieldwall Network in your area, once again, email roper_billy@yahoo.com to get involved with a local Shieldwall Network affiliate and to start your own franchise if there's one not near you. Well, thank you for joining us once again for another episode of The Rope Report on RadioArian.com, brought to you by the numbers 1488 and letters H and X. Next week on The Rope Report, we bring you reports from the White Lives Matter rally taking place this next weekend in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Shieldwall Network members will be attending, along with the League of the South and the Traditionalist Worker Party, as well as the National Socialist Movement. We'll bring you reports from Shieldwall Network members who will be attending, both with those organizations as well as with the National Council, along with the report from the meeting after the rally, where the parents of Jacob Goodwin will be speaking about Jacob's case and holding a fundraiser for his legal defense fund. Once again, if you'd like to send a letter to Jacob Goodwin, where he is now in the Lone Oak County Jail, then we encourage you to do so. You can find that address through either of the Rope Report website, the Rope Report .whitenationalist.net, or by just going to whitenationalist.com, which is a mirror site. You can also go to the Roper Report site .wordpress.com and find the article there entitled, clearly enough, How to Write to Jacob Goodwin. The address for Jacob is Jacob Goodwin, courtesy of Lone Oak County Jail, 440 DD Lane, Lone Oak, Arkansas, 720-86, or through email by registering at smartjailmail.com. We encourage you once again to please go to change.org and sign the petition asking Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson to deny or delay Jacob's extradition to Virginia to stand trial there, and to give to Jacob's legal defense through Patreon or GoFundMe or through fundraiser.com. Once again, for the Rope Report, Billy's Balkanization Podcast, this is your host, Billy Roper, at RadioArian.com, reminding you, as always, to please think racially, act locally, but no matter what, keep it white. Can you hear?
hear the student band. I think they're getting out of hand. Well, you know what happened to those who complain. We've got to stop them seeing light. Let them think it's all right. Cause the fire acts out to keep them entertained. Well, the wells have not run dry. Do we really need to lie? We'll say it's a national emergency. We're at a wedding full of clowns. And we'll kick them while they're down. Get the banks control, cause they are friends to me. Let's go and find a better place. We'll call it New America. Won't it be a lovely place to be? Imperial material, the mind of New America. The best idea since democracy.
Listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.